Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
James Ehedebo has arrived. It's a full house here.
It is.
The polls are showing out. We're at Hooters in Pearland, as you just heard the voice guys say. The beer is flowing. At 2 o'clock, they're going to have dollar drafts. Some people drinking some Big Daddies, eating wings, and we're joined by a Super Bowl champ now, James Ehedebo. I understand you got a school not too far away from here.
Yeah, we're not too far away, still in the area, in the community. But, man, great environment, and it's good to spend Thursday afternoon with you guys.
Got a road trip, man.
Yeah.
We're on the road.
On the road.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat immediately. We're going to get into what happened on Sunday and the end of the 2019 season. But before we do, we consider you one of our teammates. And anyone we've talked to has always said what a good teammate James Ehedebo is.
Mm-hmm.
So when another team takes a shot at your teammate, you immediately got to come to their defense or you just got to plead the fifth and just let them.
I know what's coming.
Just let them kind of say what they say and, you know, silence speaks volumes.
No, you always have to come to the defense of your teammates. Okay. I'm a firm believer in, you know, if you have my back off the field, I know I can trust you on the field. And if someone's attacking any of my guys, I'm going to voice my opinion and let them know I got their back. Even with a Richard Sherman coming after Darrell Revis, I posted in return my thoughts on that conversation.
There you go.
You know?
Okay. There you go. So you are a good teammate.
Of course.
Well, let's put that to test because it's one thing to defend Darrell Revis, your former Jets teammate, but what about your teammate every Thursday, John Lopez? Before we got on the air, Wade Smith and Cecil Shorts. Cecil's not in the clear here. He was kind of instigating, throwing some fuel to the fire. They had this to say about my man J-Lo. We're going to get James Ehedebo's thoughts after we hear this. This is Wade Smith and Dirty Cecil Shorts earlier today.
Shoot, Lopez will probably buy you a shot or something, man.
Ooh, Lopez, that generous, huh?
Man, Lopez,
the OG.
Lopez got that bread now. So you know if what? You got
that's
that
what
bread,
the rumor is.
You know
that's
what
the rumor is.
Especially if you're like a, you know, Lopez. He's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy. So if you're lightweight, like a low-key guy that's like, hey, he's not going to do anything, but he's going to enjoy seeing. So if you're an attractive young lady, you come up.
You cannot call him creepy.
I didn't call him creepy. I said he's a low-key creep. There's a difference. There's a difference. And I said low-key. I didn't call
him.
You
did say low-key. You did say low-key.
He got that, you know, kind of that creepy old man. To him that, you know, so if you want to drink, you know what I mean, go out there, Lopez will take care of you. Lopez is going to be like, bro, at the toss, I did this on purpose, so when the toss come in, be like, yo, so you just going to put me out there like that, way?
Oh, that's funny.
James?
Oh, man, that's it's hilarious. I'm sorry. But, no, he started off good, you know, with the compliments.
Yeah,
and,
but.
You know, butter you up before he lays it on you. I don't think of you as a creepy guy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here's OG.
Here's my response to that. Everything that they called me means that I'm a guy. You know, that's what guys do.
Yeah.
Some are a little more low key than others. But
you
got,
you know, you got to have a little.
I have flesh and blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You have a little finesse to it. Yeah, Landry, what are your thoughts? I mean,
I can't really disagree with what Wade said.
Come on,
but I will say this. I will say this.
There
though.
It is.
I will say this though. He's kind of throwing stones in his glass house, if you ask me.
Who?
Wade.
Oh, dude, have you seen his harem? his group that associates with him and goes everywhere. They're supposed to be here. Weren't they supposed to be here tomorrow? They're going to bring champagne. And
oh, jeez.
He's got a whole crew.
He has entourage.
A whole harem.
So the Wade Smith entourage wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's got it going on.
He definitely does.
All right.
James Ehedebo with us live at Hooters in Pearland. What'd you think of the game on Sunday? Chiefs obviously dominated for the most part up to about 7 minutes remaining in the game. They end up pulling it off late. Pat Mahomes, a little bit of up-tempo offense. They end up taking the lead. What was your biggest takeaway from the conclusion of the 2019 season?
I thought it was a phenomenal game. I mean, mm-hmm. both teams gave us exactly, you know, what we wanted. But when you really break it down, it came to playing great defense and executing. I mean, and that's 9 times out of 10, that's what every game in the championship game comes down to.
Right.
But there in the fourth quarter, where ideally, you know, you thought, okay, this is an opportunity for the 49ers to run the football and use that great running game that got them to where they are and play defense and hopefully run out the clock, was foolish. One thing that I thought bit them in the butt that really no one's talking about.
Uh-oh, we got nobody's talking about.
Was on their fourth downs, when they're sitting there running the clock out on their fourth downs before they punt the ball, wasting all that clock.
Right.
And then it comes to bite them in the butt towards the end of the game when they needed that extra time.
I'm so glad you brought
that
up.
To go down the field and score. They didn't have that. So
I meant to bring this up. And you know the Bill Belichick thing, when the clock is over 5 minutes?
The false start?
You take a delay a game.
Yeah.
They start the clock. Then you take a false start. Because if you took another delay a game, they would stop the clock.
Yeah.
But what you can do is, like, if it's over 5 minutes left, you can let the clock run, take a delay a game. They move you back five, then you do a false start, and the clock
but
you can run like a minute off.
I thought that was a scare tactic, but that takes all the emotion out of your team. Like, you do not have confidence in your team. There's over 5 minutes left in the game. You're up 10. You know, that's an opportunity. Where,
yeah, but it was a minute, man.
I mean, but even if you take, even if you don't like your field position, you take the delay a game penalty,
yeah.
and then you snap the ball and you punt it.
Yeah.
But for you to sit there and wait down, you know, run the clock down to the final seconds and punt the ball, then at the end of the game, you're wishing you had that last 30 seconds.
No, well,
you know,
they would have, but I'm saying at that point they had a 10-point lead. They could have taken more than a minute off the clock.
But that's my point. It doesn't make sense if you're going to do that, if you're going to pass the ball 3 times, you know, on first,
oh,
second,
yeah.
third down.
Yeah.
It defeats the purpose of what you're trying to do.
You're right.
Run the football, and then you can execute that play call and punt the
that's
ball.
Leads to another thing.
Exactly. But if you're passing the ball, and then now you're saying, okay, well, we had a completion, we're going to try to run the clock up.
Right.
Well, then why don't you do that the first
time? No, I get that. What they should have done is run the ball and then do that.
Yeah.
Then you're down to under 5 minutes. But here's the other thing.
It nipped them in the butt in the end.
Kyle Shanahan is just a brilliant guy and can really get it done. But they ran 13 plays with the lead in the second half. They ran 13 offensive plays with the lead. 9 of them were passes.
Yeah. The major thing too is all their pass plays came off of play action.
Yeah.
So for the Kansas City Chiefs, Spagnuolo makes the decision, okay, we're just going to run blitz on first down.
Yeah.
Either we're going to knock the run in the backfield, or we're going to get pressure and smack Garoppolo in the face. And
right.
that's what they ended up doing to be able to create those air throws and those interceptions and so forth. For the 49ers and that offense, they should have designed, one, ran the ball and designed other pass plays that are just drop back passes or
back,
quick game.
Yeah.
Pass plays, which they didn't incorporate in their offense. And, you know, it's once you get into the flow of the game, if you don't switch it up, a team will jump all over it, and they did.
Super Bowl champ James E. Hedebo joining us for our weekly visit live at Hooters out here in Pearland. How offended were you by the halftime show, James? Did you write any letters to the Fox Network or anything?
You know, so much is said about the halftime show. I thought, you know, Jennifer Lopez did a phenomenal job. I mean, you have Jennifer Lopez as a halftime show. What do you expect? What do you think she's going to do? I think it was very classy of her, though, that she even had her daughter involved in the show. I think that was, you know, incorporating everything into it. So
yeah, if she was going to be offensive, you think she'd have her daughter out there?
Yeah.
And then Shakira, I mean, it was just good.
Yeah,
it was just a good halftime.
I mean, I thought, you know, at the beginning, I thought Shakira was kind of stale. I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, in her older... Her latter
I feel like
years.
She stepped it up when J-Lo got out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
The tongue came out right before J-Lo. She was like, I really got to step it up now.
Yeah, I just that was a bomb. But then, you know, J-Lo picked up the rest of the performance.
What is it, 35 minutes or so, halftime, as opposed to 12 minutes? What does that do for the players in the locker room?
Man, you really just go through any corrections that you have. But
you try to keep it normal?
Yeah, you're just going to have your snacks.
Because you don't have any time in the reg season,
In the regular season, you have
12
no
minutes,
time.
Right?
And
yeah.
by the time you get back there, you don't even have time to change your tape.
By
the time you get back there, it's time to go back out. And so for this type of halftime, not only are you preparing for it all week,
mm-hmm.
you know, prior to the game, say, hey, extended halftime, we know, and you can practice accordingly.
Did you practice a half-hour break?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You take a break during practice, water up, and then you get back to it, and we, you know, go 7-on-7, whatever it is, and you hit it. But it really doesn't affect you as a player. You want to get back out there as soon as possible, but you're going to stretch. I mean, for us with the Ravens, we had the halftime show, and then we
Who
had
was the halftime show?
Beyonce.
Woo!
Yeah. So she did so good, she took the power out of the stadium.
That's
so,
right.
You know, and then we lose the power for another hour and something minutes.
Yeah.
So you got to think about that. That's an hour and a half
that
without any
tough.
Football being played. You know, so that was tough. Starting the engine back up, and that's kind of what let the 49ers mm-hmm. that year get back into the game. But, you know, you see the way this game panned out, man, you got your money's worth. Pat Mahomes, I mean, he did exactly, you know, what we expected him to do in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. just be lights out. To start the game, you could definitely see the emotions that got to everybody. The
Mahomes
atmosphere.
Was tight.
He was tight. He played tight in the yeah. beginning, you know, yeah. trying to make throws that he normally doesn't make
yeah.
and force balls in there. And guys are dropping passes. There's tipped interceptions and so forth. But once they settled down, they got the run game going with Williams. And, you know, that big pass play, I mean, you know, set him up for the win. I'm happy for Andy Reid. He definitely deserves it.
I mean, and I just think Pat Mahomes, I mean, he's just shown you this year that I think he became a better player this year. I mean, if you look at, if you just pulled out his football card and you looked in the back, you would look at the 2018 season and said, you know what, that's the best year of Pat Mahomes' career. He was the MVP, so on and so forth. But I mean, this year, I mean, your kneecap goes to the side of your leg.
Yeah.
Yes.
You walk off the field under your own power. You break the team out. You come back sooner than expected. You fight it out, and then you have three come from behind double digit wins in the playoffs. You struggle for 75% or more of a game, and then you find a way to pull it out. You can't do what he did in 2018 without that being one of your best career years. But the scary thing for people in regards to Pat Mahomes is he became a better football player. He became a winner. And he became somebody who's going to be a pain in the ass for pretty much every team in the NFL from here on out.
Yeah, he's just getting started. And when you're talking about the era of the New England Patriots, you know, basically we're watching it, you know, unfold, coming an era coming to an end.
Yeah.
And this is the birth of a new dynasty. I mean, they have so many young guys on that roster, all under contract for, you know, at least three more years. And Andy Reid, who's just getting started in terms of
right.
what he's able to do with that offense. You know, and speaking of Andy Reid, how about the new wrinkles that they had, you know, that red in the red zone, in the goal line.
The 1948
turnaround. 1948, remember the Titans.
He had a play on fourth down. Hey, he had a play on fourth down twice, James.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
No, he had one ready.
Ready to go.
Can you
wow.
believe that? It's absolutely crazy.
He must have learned from Bill O'Brien.
Well.
And the crazy thing is with the Mahomes thing is I keep hearing people kind of try to minimize the situation and say, because we both said this guy's winning multiple Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
It might not happen this year, but 24 years old. This guy's winning multiple Super Bowls. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And people try to minimize it, and they say, well, Aaron Rodgers did this, and you had Aaron. He was 28. And the difference between Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, this guy showed championship intangibles at 24. You never thought that Aaron Rodgers had championship intangibles.
Yeah.
He had all-time talent. He's got championship intangibles.
Mind you, last year, they went down to the wire with the Patriots.
Exactly.
It wasn't a blowout. They should have won that game.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a quarterback who possibly could have been in the Super Bowl back-to-back years in yep. his first 2 years as a starter. Like, that's unheard of in the NFL.
A lot of times these kind of comments, you kind of like roll your eyes and say, all right, whatever. But when they said Brett Veach was scouting him, and said, this is the best quarterback I've ever seen. I'm like, what? Is that just hyperbole? You know, the Chiefs general manager. And Andy Reid reiterated that after the game. Mm-hmm. And look, he's not. I mean, he's not the best quarterback there's ever been.
But
for a general manager to
talk about Peyton Manning at 24, what he was doing.
Right. Nobody's done this.
Nobody. Yeah.
And to say, you know, when you're scouting a guy, that's the best quarterback you've ever seen, that's like incredible. I mean, that's something where you have to all of a sudden say, okay, well, maybe this guy's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, he definitely is, and I think they're just getting started. He has all the intangibles. I mean, you know, you mentioned it. He has, you know, the grit. He has the moxie. He has, you know, has the presence. Yeah. He has the everything that he does on the field is passion to winning. A lot of times you see quarterbacks nowadays, they're more conservative, they're more reserved, they're more, you know, mentally
trying not to make mistakes. He's trying to make plays.
Exactly. And he's like, I'm letting this thing rip and I'm going to make plays. I think after one of his touchdowns to Travis Kelce, you know, the camera pans over to him and Andy Reid on the bench, and it's like Andy Reid saying, hey, I'm about to let this thing rip. And he's like, let's go. You know, like, and goes out there and plays his butt off. So I think the best is yet to come of what we're going to see with the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes.
Well, that's scary for the rest of the league. That's putting a bow on the 2019 season with our guy Jamesy Hedebo here on Sports Radio 610. Let's look at 2020. Cam Newton could be going to the Indianapolis Colts. Is that a scary thought? We'll talk about that with James. And James has been a part of a Super Bowl championship parade. Let's have him grade Travis Kelce's performance on the mic. In the Loop continues live from Hooters in Pearland next. The Rockets have made another trade.
All right.
The Rockets have sent Jordan Bell.
Okay.
To Memphis.
Okay.
For Bruno Caboclo.
Who? Who?
Bruno Caboclo.
Bruno Caboclo. Tell me everything you know about Bruno Caboclo, John Lopez.
Well, I'm no Jeremy Branham, but...
You know Branham's going to be all over this one. Jeremy apparently liked the James Click Astros thing, and he liked the trade yesterday. I thought, honestly, that the Rockets acquired LeBron James or something yesterday with the way he was talking
about
this.
Well, all I'm saying
is... He's going to love this Caboclo move.
Bruno Caboclo is 6'9".
Ooh, 6'9".
Just like Bill Russell.
So he's the tallest guy on the team, right?
6'9".
He's the tallest guy on the team now, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Bill Russell was 6'9". Bruno Caboclo was 6'9". That's all I'm saying. Although he's averaging 2.8 points and 2 rebounds a game.
Wow. Guy doesn't play.
No.
He doesn't play.
So we traded for a guy that doesn't play.
You want me to give you a little bit of a background on his early life?
Yeah. That's always good
courtesy
information.
Courtesy of Wikipedia.
That's what we're here for, Landry.
All right. He was born in Osasco, Brazil. Caboclo was raised in a place that I can't pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 13, he began playing basketball for a social club that invites children from local public schools.
Good for him. That's a good story.
To play sports.
Mm-hmm.
In January 2013, Caboclo linked up with coach Rafael Franco at Score Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina, in his first game against top-five-ranked junior college something university. Mm-hmm. The 6'9 forward with almost a 7'7 wingspan.
There you go.
Missed three-pointer after three-pointer. This is a real Wikipedia page,
oh,
by
geez.
The way. So he missed three-pointer after three-pointer. Coach Franco told Caboclo he had to be aggressive and he had to rebound and the score would come, and was temporarily banned from shooting threes.
It sounds like he's permanently banned because he has 2.2
points. 2.8
points,
2 rebounds a game.
Come on.
I mean, it's the final piece of the puzzle, man.
So you mean to tell me we trade Capella,
yeah,
who's a beast, And we, in return, get, 6'9".
A wing.
Yeah,
good defender.
A wing, but I mean, well, now we...
They're going small.
Mm-hmm.
They're going small.
Teams are just
going
to go big.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you my issue with the Rockets is...
Mm-hmm.
My issue is Westbrook. That's my issue. If this basketball 101, if your guy goes to double, you better be able to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So after watching the Kobe Bryant Muse series,
good, isn't it?
Kobe Bryant missed a three-pointer. He missed like 3 in a game when he was young, you know, in the NBA Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And this man went to the gym that night after the game and shot nonstop those same exact shots over and over and over again and would not miss those shots.
Yep.
Now you tell me that Westbrook, who is a starting guard for the Rockets, he has arguably the worst 3-point shooting percentage in the NBA out of players who've taken
as many shots. Yeah, that many shots.
So, I mean, you mean to tell me that you're not in the gym shooting? Like, I'd be a coach, I'm not practicing. I'm shooting threes all day. Like, it's awful.
All I know is Mark Berman's on the way to the airport right now to meet Bruno Caboclo. He's got the van, he's got the camera crew, he's going to be out there. Bruno. Tell me, Tell me about your thoughts of Houston. Bruno's probably going to go, you know I'm Bruno Caboclo, right?
Yeah. I'm surprised Robert Covington didn't say that. You know. Mark Berman met Covington at the airport. So, yeah, Caboclo. Mark Berman on his way. On his way right now, swerving in and out. James E. Hedebo
he
with us out
his,
here.
He was at his daughter's program, but he had to leave because Bruno Caboclo is coming to the airport.
Hooters in Pearland. James, you've been a part of a Super Bowl parade. I want to get your thoughts on Travis Kelce's mic work. Because you won a Super Bowl with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. Those guys can talk, to say the very least. So can Terrell Suggs. We're going to go through Travis Kelce's parade speech, and I just want a former Super Bowl champ that's been involved in one of these things to tell us how good he did. Let's start with the beginning of Travis Kelce's speech. Step one to a good speech at a parade, you got to get the crowd hype.
Can you dig it? I love this team. Woo! I'm wearing about half the beers I've been trying to drink, baby. We had to fight for our right to party! Right here in the heart of America. How about that? I'm going to walk this wall. How about 21 years? Y'all know what that means? Everybody here is thinking, oh, that's when I can, you know what I mean, legally get a drink. Yeah. No, that's how long it's just been turning for my guy Andy Reid. It's just been turning and turning and turning. And what do? We unleash a can of whoop-ass on everybody.
All right, so far, that step one, get the crowd hype. What would you grade that, James E. Hedebo?
I would grade him a B+. Yeah. Mind you, you know, there's nothing in, you know, Kansas City. There's no
It's a
small city. Yeah. So they probably had the entire city there for their parade. So they already get, you know, an A+, you know, just on that. But him getting the crowd into it, you know, bringing Andy Reid into it and his journey, I give him a B+.
All right, so he has a B+ so far. That's step one. Now, step two of a good speech at a championship parade, you got to go through the path. You got to go through the way that you got there, and you got to shout out your teammates that mean so much to you. This is Travis Kelce. He's going to start with the path, and I got to warn you, Texans fans, 24-0 is going to be brought up. This is step two of Travis Kelce's parade speech as James E. Hedebo grades the speech.
24-0! I ain't trying to hear it! Down 10! I ain't trying to hear it! Fourth quarter! 6 and whatever left on the clock! Down 10! We got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, baby! How about Sammy Watkins? Woo! How about Damian Williams? Woo! How about my dog, 5'5", and he ain't offsides, mother Frank Clark? What's good?
Dang.
Grade that right there.
Woo! That's an A+, man.
That's really
That's
good.
That's an A+. You talk about the journey. Everyone, my brother was watching the Super Bowl with me and looked over at me in the fourth quarter. I was like, oh, the game's over. And I was like, are you kidding me? Do you know this offense? This quarterback, this coach, and you know, shout out to Kelce. He broke it down. The passion, bringing your teammates into it, the energy, the passion, everything about it.
What do you remember about your parade?
Our parade was off the chain. We literally
Were you on a fire truck?
Well, no, we were on tankers. So we had military style trucks and tankers and so forth. So
that's pretty sweet.
It was awesome. And so we literally had, I think it was something like 1.5 million people, it was crazy amount of people that showed up. And so the barricades were on both sides of the street as we're coming down.
Yeah.
Literally after the last, you know, truck went by, the barricade just broke, and the people just followed into the street.
Kind of like the British Open. They just follow the group, the final group.
Mass amounts of people.
Come on, Ray Lewis.
Well, I know,
Suggs,
but I want to know the whole list.
Ray Lewis. He broke it down.
Oh,
and,
gosh. appreciate the word.
Ray Lewis broke it down. Anquan Boldin.
There you go.
Ed Reed. Suggs. It
he
was
some good talkers.
Yeah, it was an awesome.
That's a team right there.
Awesome
that's got
experience.
Some,
but yeah. Mind you, Ray Lewis. This is the year. You know, he's going out. He's retiring.
Yeah.
He was out the season with a torn tricep. Missed half. You know, half the season.
Dear antler cream.
antler cream. Everyone didn't know if he was going to make it back, and then he comes back and says, "This is my last run." And the
so
whole
you guys
motto,
go nuts.
The whole city was, do it for Ray. Let's do it for Ray.
Who was the drunkest guy at the parade? My guy, Shaky Brown?
Yeah, he's arguably up there. there's a few others that, you know, but it's
what were you sipping?
It's water.
It was, come on now.
It was just a great time, man. It was a great time.
Jamesy had about the final part
it
of
was
the
a
speech.
Great time.
Okay, I'll leave it at great. That.
Travis Kelce just shouted out the crowd. We ain't got to hear that. We've heard enough of Travis Kelce. Well, we might get back
hey,
into
we've got
it
a scouting breakdown of Bruno Caboclo.
From Jeremy Branham?
Yeah. No, well, no.
Let's, yeah. Let's
from Fran Fraschilla. We'll play it on the other side. You'll
why?
Like it. You'll like it. It's breaking down his game.
Why?
Because it's awesome.
It can't be that good.
Yeah. No, it's good.
John Lopez hypes up a guy who's
not,
not even going to play.
Not me.
Next. And Jamesy Hedebo. Man, it's a full house here. I think... Got a lot of UFC stuff going. Got a lot of loopholes out here. I'm
there
about to start sipping here at 1, I think. Screw it, you know.
Sure, why not?
It is what it is. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, so yeah. We'll see what pops. John Lopez, I don't know why you wanted to do this, but there was a trade that the Houston Rockets made. They acquired a guy with a 6'9" wingspan. Can you say his name again?
I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Bruno Caboclo.
Bruno Caboclo.
Right.
Bruno Caboclo.
Yeah, actually drafted by the Rockets.
Okay, well, he was – they traded Jordan Bell, who they just acquired, for Caboclo.
What was your favorite Jordan Bell memory?
Something with the Warriors where he was in there in mop-up duty. But I understand that you have a scouting report of Mr. Caboclo, courtesy of our man
– I think it was Fran Fraschilla.
Fran Fraschilla has a scouting report. So here is the – old scouting reports, courtesy of Fran, of the newest Houston Rocket.
This is the all-time swing for the fences pick. First of all, he's described as the Brazilian Kevin Durant. He's 6'9". He's a terrific athlete, but he's so raw that he's about 3 or 4 years away, in my opinion, from playing in the league. Shout out to Basketball Without Borders with the NBA people, because he was the MVP last year in their camp. He plays down at Panero's. He didn't play very much. He is a freak athlete, but he really doesn't know how to play yet. Toronto and a couple other teams were the only teams to see him in person this year. And I thought Toronto might take him at 37, but they are swinging for the fences with this guy. I'm blown away. I've been doing this for 10 years. He's 2 years away from being 2 years away, and then we'll see.
Oh,
but he's a great athlete with upside down the road, like Sao Paulo.
All right, so he was four years away. That was in 2014. So we're about 6 years down the road.
Yeah. He's the Brazilian Kevin Durant.
How are you the Brazilian Kevin Durant and you don't know how to play yet?
So basically you're tall, you should play basketball.
Yeah.
That's what I heard right there. You're a tall guy. 6'9". Hey, here's a basketball
I told you you'd like
for
it.
It's a little bit troubling for me.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a Houston
Landry
Rocket.
Is the grapevine Kevin Durant. Yeah.
But I can't play. That's exactly where that is. Jamesy Hedebo with us live out here at Hooters in Pearland. James, what do you think about the possibility of Cam Newton going to the Indianapolis Colts? They're believed to be pretty interested in him. If he's healthy, that could be the guy that they replaced Jacoby Brissett with. We know they already like to run the rock. We know that they got that good offensive line. They got $90 million in cap space. The possibility of Indianapolis adding former league MVP Cam Newton does what for you?
That would be a phenomenal addition for that team.
Yeah.
You think about, this is a guy, you know, who's league MVP, played in a Super Bowl, has the ability when healthy to play at a very high level in this league. I mean, you know, highest level. Yeah. I mean, let's not forget, this is a guy that had, you know, double digit rushing touchdowns as well as double digit passing touchdowns. and few interceptions, so can play at a very high level. The thing that he lacked in Carolina was an offensive line. He was not protected. There was money that was spent elsewhere in acquiring, you know, guys like, you know, Julius Peppers or whatever it may be, and it wasn't invested in building that offensive line. Now you go to a team like the Indianapolis Colts. You have a T.Y. Hilton. You have a Doyle. You have, you know, the offensive line that's built in young under contract.
Yeah, they got to sign T.Y., though.
Yeah,
they're,
but still.
I mean, it's, it's done deal. They're not going to let T.Y. walk out the door.
No.
And then especially if you can get Cam Newton on a cheap, you know, one-year, two-year prove-it deal, you know, not paying him max dollar. Have him have a top season, and then he could be a long-term quarterback for
you. Let me ask you this, because I was you just reminded me of something I meant to bring up yesterday. I was talking to a guy I know in the league, and he's an offensive guy, and he was saying what's frustrating sometimes about Cam Newton is quarterback. It's often good when a quarterback coach tries to change your mechanics and make you a little more efficient if you're not like an athletic freak that just has been doing it that way and can do it the way you throw the ball. I think they've been trying to change Cam Newton so much, the mechanics. Why don't they just run him out there and say, dude, just throw the ball?
Well, and that's what he did the first part of his years.
It wasn't pretty, just throw the ball.
But he made it work. And then, so what you saw and what we saw was the diminish of his arm strength due to injury. So if his way of throwing is from the hips and shoulder and not stepping into it, well, once he has an injury, he can't throw that way. So his ball.
So you're saying he should change his mechanics?
Well, I'm saying that they should protect him from, so he doesn't have to, you know, he got hurt, so he's trying to compensate for an injury while still throwing the same way. You can't change your mechanics just like that.
Right.
It's something that evolves over time. Even Tom Brady, you know, you see, you know, him in the offseason, he's working on his mechanics. He isn't necessarily changing. He's improving what he's currently doing. And so that's something that Cam Newton needs to do is improve his footwork, but ultimately is just getting healthy. If he gets healthy, he's going to be a threat in this league.
And I also think the Colts, one of the things that they lost with Andrew Luck outside of one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you lose leadership. I mean, you lose leadership, so I think that's something that you can't really sleep on. That's lost, and that's a relatively young team. If you do bring in a healthy Cam Newton, Eric Ebron, they're probably going to let walk because they already got Jack Doyle, who's a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. Maybe you bring in Greg Olsen, who's had some good years with Cam Newton, and you not only add another weapon, another tight end on the back end, but you get that leadership with a guy like a Greg Olsen, who's one of the best leaders in the league, and you get a Cam Newton. It's kind of a package deal, so you get that leadership, and you potentially get a good quarterback. I think that's a possibility, James.
That's a great point, and that's something that they should look into. Because at the end of the day, Jacoby Brissett is not looked at in that locker room as our franchise quarterback. You can't go from an Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett and say, this is our
guy.
Here
we go.
You know, here we go. Let's go, you know, compete for a Super Bowl. And the front office knows that, and they need a face, you know, of that team where that can take them the long term. You're not going to invest a first-round pick in a quarterback, not where that team is, because that team's a lot closer than what people imagine. They have a young defense. They play, you know, great football. They're just a position away, which is quarterback, from winning or having a chance to compete for a Super Bowl.
They have the assets to get it done, which kind of ties,
$90 million in eight draft picks.
Yeah.
I want to talk to James. James, you had about joining us here at the Hooters up in Pearland about what we were talking about with the Texans. The thing that's – I don't know if it bothers me, but you're going to have to be really, really good and really, really creative. You know, they have $90 million cap space. They got a good complimentary squad. The Jaguars have two first-round picks each of the next 2 years. The Titans are what they are, and they're going to sign a quarterback or Tannehill back. The Texans have $55 million in cap space, which looks good. But you don't have a first-round pick this year or next year. You don't have a third-round pick. Free agency, if you're going to spend a lot of money on free agency, you're going to sacrifice signing Deshaun Watson and or Laremy Tunsil this year. Because 55 isn't going to get everybody paid.
That's going to get eaten up quick. And this goes to what I've been saying in terms of, you know, organizational planning for the future.
Yeah.
And it's something that the Texans just struggle at doing. They really focus on in the now moment, and it bites them in the butt long term. They find themselves time and time again in this position where now you have Tunsil, because yes,
you gotta pay him.
You have to pay him. You have to pay him. But then what's gonna happen is you could either redo Deshaun's deal now before Pat Mahomes gets a deal, mm-hmm. and you're paying less money for a same caliber player, or you wait until Pat Mahomes signs his new deal,
and then now you're
going to pay $250, or he's going to go into, you know, he's going to go into his fifth
but
year.
But you can't
option.
Sign any street free agents to get your defense
exactly.
better.
Exactly, I mean, you can't sign any street free agents to get your defense better, and not to mention J.J. Watt's going to want another contract. His performance in the playoffs, how you know. In the divisional, you know, round or while, you know, he has a sack that brings everybody back in, yeah. in the Buffalo game, and
you just can't do that though, man.
I you can't do it, but they put themselves in this bed, so they have to lay in it.
The scary thing about the Texans, and I don't think, I mean, I think next year the Colts are going to be better, and I think the Jags are going to be better because they're going to have more stability at quarterback position, and yeah. they're going to have all these assets. But the scariest thing for the Texans, if we're just looking at moving forward, is the four-year window. Like, you're not going to have first-round picks. First-round picks, paying them what you pay them for 4 years and then you pick up that fifth-year option is priceless.
Priceless.
You're not going
it's a
to
steal.
Have that. And the Jags are going to have four. If the Jags draft well the next 2 years, they're likely, because you want a starter in the first round, they're going to have four starters that are getting that are on their rookie deal, and the Texans are going to have all these bills that are coming up yeah. along with an older and older core. It's a scary four-year window.
And then not to mention with the money that you have in free agency in terms of signing a guy, you're doing team-friendly contracts in free agency. So you might sign a guy and only have him for a year and then trade him off or get rid of him for other price. Right. So your team actually isn't getting better over time, and the teams in the league and the division are.
And you know, the other thing that I think that, you know, we fail to talk about when it comes to the Chiefs and it comes to the Texans and everybody, you know, kind of trying to reach the Kansas City Chiefs, is the Chiefs are going to have to pay Pat Mahomes. There's no doubt about that. And they're going to have to pay some of the guys on that defense. But when you have what the Chiefs have and you've shown that you can do what the Chiefs do, you know this, James. You played with the Patriots and you played with the freaking Ravens, so you know this. Players that are going to get those one-year deals or players that are going to be those minimum guys that can help your football team are going to want to go to Kansas City. Kansas yeah. City is going to be able to sign. Like, we can say how much cap space they have, but if there's a hungry guy, Terrell Suggs, they obviously picked him up, but guys like Terrell Suggs yeah. and all that are chasing that ring, or they have 1 year left, they're going to want to go to places like Kansas City. I don't know if Houston's there right now.
Yeah, they aren't. And with, like I said, with a lot of guys, you know, the chatter that goes on behind the scenes when players are together, yeah. they're not convincing guys that, hey, this is a place that you want to be. Like, we love it here. No, a lot of guys are like, well, you know, I'm getting paid. At least I'm getting paid.
It's a living.
At least it's a living to, you know, to go through this. But at some point, you know, and for me, I know when I was in free agency, I had, I think it was like the Arizona Cardinals, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Baltimore Ravens mm-hmm. were all teams that were competing, you know, for my services. I was like, I want to play in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
That's a team that, you know, they're on the cusp of winning. They have the right environment.
And you're talking coach,
you're
environment,
talking coach,
team.
Players, city, environment, everything.
And that was a point also when Flacco was, people thought he was going to be, you know.
Is Flacco elite?
Well, that,
coming up next.
It's actually true. I mean.
No, it was a discussion.
No, it was a discussion. Yeah. So it's not like you weren't confident in the quarterback.
Exactly.
Now, you lost confidence maybe
oh, yeah.
over the course of time. But at that point when you signed.
That's the appetite that guys have when they're going into free agency. And mm-hmm. so if I'm competing about, hey, here's $5 million extra to go to Houston or $5 million less to go to KC, and you have a chance to go to another Super Bowl,
yeah.
man, I'll make that money up in endorsements. I'll go to KC.
Or playoff
money. Or playoff money. You know, so and then peace of mind of just environment
yeah.
and, you know, fan-friendly, team-friendly, and so forth. For players. And so guys talk, and the my issue with the overall of the Houston Texans, you know, organization is, man, what is the plan?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let the fans know this is the plan for our organization. Not, you can't say, oh, we're so close to winning and, you know, we just have to
right.
keep staying the course. Well, in reality, you're not that close. You know, you're not as close as you think. Not with Kansas City getting better and winning a
right.
Super Bowl. You're not as close as you think you are. And then you don't have the pieces in play
mm-hmm.
to close the gap, so to speak.
Right.
And you're not going to get the breaks that you got this year.
No.
I mean, that's the reality. Like, it can happen. It's a year-to-year league. But I mean, is the Colts quarterback going to retire 3 weeks before? I mean, is that going to happen? Are you going to be as healthy as you were? Is Jalen Ramsey going to ask his way out of town?
Yeah.
I mean, are the Colts going to be probably the most injured team in the league? Like,
so
you get these breaks.
So you think
you're
about
not going to guarantee for those.
So you think about this next year. Say Cam Newton signs to the Colts. So you have Cam Newton in the division.
Yep.
And then so you'll. What, Nick Foles is back, you know, for Jacksonville.
Could be Minshew,
though, for a full year. Could be Minshew for a full year. Either or. I mean, they're about, you know, the same. And then, you know.
They're either going to re-sign Tannehill, but they got that beast at running back. People talk about Brady going there.
Yeah,
can you imagine
and that's
that?
And that's what I was going to bring up is the fact of, you know, Brady possibly going to a team like Tennessee because they have the run game, they have young receivers, and they have a great defense. So, and not to mention the other quarterbacks that are available in free agency. So, it's the Texans. Yes, they are a great football season. Yes, it was a good year. But to say that it's just going to be as easy for next year for us to be successful, it's foolish.
And I also think the other way is just improvement within. And you look at Jacksonville, Josh Allen on the edge. That's a guy who could break out. You have in Tennessee, A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown's destined to be a star. I think Jonnu Smith's destined to be a star. There's just a lot of guys with the arrow pointing up. And I like a lot of the players on the Texans. How many guys do you see the arrow just pointing up where their best football's ahead
of
them?
Look,
I'd say Deshaun, and then who else?
Here's the other thing.
Maybe the O-line?
I mean, Hopkins is entering his eighth season next year. He was here before Bill O'Brien. He's entering his eighth season. He's not old. He's going to be 28 in about a month or so. But at some point, you know, you're going to start realizing, okay, this is the zenith. This is as good as it gets with Hop. And you're going to have to start – maybe Hop is even going to start thinking, do I want to stay here?
Do I want – that? And that's the question is, do I want to finish my career here or do I want to go someplace and win? I think, you know, when you talk about great receivers, you know, what comes to mind is Calvin Johnson. He retired because he couldn't get out of Detroit.
Yep.
You know, they wouldn't let him be traded. They wouldn't – you know, so he was like, I don't want to –
But players have more leverage.
But this
though.
Is Detroit, players though, have, James. Yeah, but this
I'm
is
just,
Detroit.
I'm talking about the fact of the matter as you get towards the end of your career with all your accolades and all your greatness and you still haven't won a championship, you want to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, Detroit was grueling. It was torture. but for the fact of the matter with Hop, it's – Father Time is undefeated in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time before he's going to get to that point where it's like, man, you know, what is
and
it
I know
year
most
10?
Your
is
inclination it, as a fan is like, nah, Hop's going to be here, especially now that he's got Deshaun. I know that's a factor to probably keep him here a little longer, but if the situation doesn't feel right for him, if there is, you know, lack of confidence or less confidence with where the organization, everybody's looking for a championship.
Yeah.
You know?
And then also, what guys also see across the league is that salary cap number continues to increase, and mm-hmm. teams have to spend 95% of that money. And guys start saying, well, I'm better than that guy. My numbers are better than that guy. I deserve another contract. And a team like Texans saying, hey, well, we just paid you. We're not going to give you none.
Yeah.
Well, all right, well, then trade me. Trade me someplace else where I can get me another contract. So,
another thing with Nuke – and you know he's looking for another big contract because I was watching Impossible Listing. I know none of you guys watch that show, but it's basically like multi-million dollar homes. And there's DeAndre Hopkins putting a bid in on a $40 million home. He got outbid by $45 million. You ain't shopping for no $40 million home in Los Angeles if you aren't planning on breaking bread again pretty soon.
Very soon.
Exactly.
Very,
exactly.
Very soon.
Exactly.
And speaking of that, J.J. Watt, he tweeted out yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on this, James. Apparently, his fiance, say the name so I don't get a J.J.
Kalia
Watt
Ohai.
Tweet. Kalia Ohai is watching The Bachelor now, and she's hooked, and J.J.'s having to watch it. Where do you draw the line in regards of what you have to do for your significant other, James?
Man.
Where's your line? What's your line where I can't do this?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know y'all have those matching onesies, so you got a pretty nice line. Y'all have those matching Christmas onesies, don't you?
Yeah, you know, we do. I'm pretty all in for the most part. The only thing that I struggle to watch is, like, you know, she'll want to watch HGTV and there's a game on. And I'm like, all right, there's only so much fixer-upper I can take. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, so I
we all have. Look, there. And a lot of times it happens this way. It happens in both directions with your girl or her with you. Like, you like a particular show or she likes a particular show, and you sit down and you're like, oh, God, I got to watch this. And then all of a sudden
you
get
into it.
Then you're into it.
And that's when you start hating more.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what is this?
Like the show The Masked Singer?
I was just going to say
that.
I love. I was like,
last night. Or is that a spoiler alert? Did I just spoil it?
Wow.
I was like, this is crazy. I'm not watching this.
Did you watch yesterday's
show? I haven't watched any episodes. Ignore what I said then.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I knew I was doing it. I knew I was doing it as I said.
What a jerk. What a total jerk.
Well, it has aired. I mean, I know a lot of people watch it on.
Man.
So, wait till you see the first week this year.
John, you've spoken enough about The Masked Singer. Okay?
I should have done.
But a lot of people love that show. You just ruined it.
But yeah, but even like so a
That's
show
like the
like
whole
that.
Thing to it. Like, it's not like you just said one thing. That's the whole point.
I'm not going to defend myself.
Guess who that is?
I am not going to defend myself.
I know who the singer is. Pick me. I know him.
As the words were coming out, I'm like, you know, a lot of people may have taped that.
Man.
So, yeah, but it's a great show. I think Wayne Brady won last season.
Is he funny?
He's talented.
He's talented. Yeah. I wouldn't say funny, but... I mean, he was phenomenal in The Masked Singer. I didn't know it was him.
What shows does your girl watch that you won't admit it necessarily, but you've kind of gotten into?
Oh, what's that show like? Married in 90 Days or something?
Oh,
like
yeah,
Day
yeah,
Marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that. You're into that?
I watch Bachelor, all that stuff. So yeah, I'm just as bad. I watch Vanderpump, all that crap.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Hallmark movies
on my own, not because of my girl.
I wouldn't watch on my own. I wouldn't watch a Hallmark movie to save my life. But when they're on,
it's like you know what Hallmark movies are?
They're all the same.
You know what Hallmark and Lifetime movies are?
What's that?
They're porno act. It's porno acting without intercourse.
Yes, exactly.
It's the same level acting that you see in porn without the intercourse.
You want to write a Hallmark movie? We can write a Hallmark movie in 2 minutes. All right. There's this couple. Okay. Yeah. She's not happy with him. Then some other dude comes into this picture just as a friend or just as a brother or an uncle or whatever, and you can feel the tension. All of a sudden, he has to move away or she has to move away, but somehow, some way, they find each other later and they get married happily ever after. Boom, there's your Hallmark movie.
Oh, that sounds terrible. James, what's going on with the Kitty Academy?
Man, all great stuff. We're excited about what we're doing for the community and the impact that we're having on so many lives, so many families' lives every day. It's an honor, man. You know, my dad always said growing up, to whom much is given, much is required.
There you go.
And it's been a great experience thus far with, you know, Kitty Academy, League City, East and West, and then, of course, Lakes of Savannah down the road, which is, you know, they're all doing phenomenal. And so we thank, you know, all our parents for this.
How about the kids love when James shows up, man?
Oh, yeah. They
climbing
do.
All over you.
I try to go into the classrooms and just say hello because I'm big on, you know, knowing
just being
you know,
around.
Kids' names and knowing teachers and everything. And so I'll go in and say, you know, hello, and the kids just
James.
Bum rush. And it's
what do
awesome.
They call you? How do they butcher your name?
They call me Mr. James, and, you know, a few kids call me Muscle Man. They're like, hey, Muscle Man.
I'll bet they love that.
I think I've called you Muscle Man before, too, James. James, it's always a pleasure, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me.
All right, man.
Super Bowl champ James E. Hedebo joins us every Thursday right here on In the Loop.
I'm
we are
killed
live
on the text line.
At Hooters in Pearland. You should be.
I'm getting killed.
I'm embarrassed of you right now.
I knew I was doing
I'm
it. I couldn't stop myself.
Absolute
I couldn't stop myself.
Very sorry about that. Absolutely ridiculous. You know what? I thought the biggest slime ball today was Antonio Brown, and you are taking the cake, John Lopez. Texans got a chance. Something could happen at NBA All-Star Weekend that could make the Texans soar up in the AFC power rankings. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.